Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Man, they're rocking this morning, huh?
Yeah.
Matchless King. Well done. Thank you, team, for leading us in that spirit. That was good for my soul. It's good to see you all this morning. Always good to be in the house of the Lord. Great to have our kids here as well. Want to go ahead and release you guys. Hi, Lenora. She waved. Release you guys for Revolution Kids. Our kids K through 5 go upstairs. They have a time of learning together and worship and fun. They also celebrate communion together upstairs. And so you guys have a blast. The teachers are pumped too. All right, so as you know, as you've heard, this is our fourth week now in our teaching series, Second Nature, taking a look at our habits, our practices, the different things from day to day that form our lives. And maybe taking a look at where we might be able to form better habits, spiritual habits that help develop and grow our lives of faith in Christ, right? So we've taken a look at prayer, we've taken a look at study, and all of the other things that go with that. And as we've talked the past couple weeks, you know, we've realized that really these habits could kind of bleed into and inform and overlap with one another, right? Our prayer life, our worship life might lead to deeper prayer, which leads to different studies of the scripture or different teachers or voices, which leads me back to praise and thanksgiving and to prayer. The words of Mother Teresa that I came across this week, I thought, really summarized this really well. She says, "The fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. And the fruit of service is peace." How with each, not that it's a formula or a step, but how the fruit of this sort of silence and solitude in our lives might give way for a deeper prayer life, in which the love of God is revealed, our faith is developed, we experience God's love in powerful, transforming ways, so then we might be released into the world in that love and service for others. And ultimately, leading a life that is simple, loving, united with Christ, having that sense of peace, with that communion of God in all things, so that come what may, you have this peace that surpasses understanding, right? That deep peace that we long for in this chaotic, fast-paced world that we live in. So how these small habits, these small things, reclaiming some small time here and there, actually have a really big impact if we think about how they develop and form our hearts to living lives and disciples of Jesus Christ and in his peace. So this morning, we're going to really focus on that part of the development of our faith, revealing of God's love, which leads us to service. We're going to take a look at the habit of service this morning, the spiritual practice of service. I don't know about you, but when I think of serving others, the first passage of scripture that comes to my mind is Matthew 25, where Jesus teaches about serving the least of these. What you do for me, what you do for the least of these, you've done for me. So we're going to revisit that passage here and read it together. This is Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 46. Let's read the word of God together. "Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.'" Amen. As a kid, I remember hearing this passage and thinking that serving Jesus just meant going and doing something. Going to serve at the soup kitchen. Stopping to give a buck to the homeless person on the street corner. Going on a mission trip to an under-resourced area and just, you know, helping out. Going and doing. You know, I was missing something pretty big here. First of all, that's a pretty well-developed works righteousness understanding of salvation, right? Do these things and you will inherit the kingdom of God. Go do, feel good and righteous about yourself because Jesus said so, and then you're good to go. Check. But we know, we really know that that is not how the free gift of grace and salvation works. It's not that exchange. It's not that formula. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We can only accept the great love of God once it has been shed abroad in our hearts. We can only accept that gift and that love. So I was missing the whole ethic of love that you don't exactly hear in this passage, but if you take a look of Jesus' whole life and ministry, you see this example and ethic of love that must inform how we read this passage. And I was missing that. I was missing what it really means to love God by loving and serving others. All throughout Scripture, all throughout the New Testament specifically, we see Jesus going to the marginalized, going to the outcast, the sick, the hurting, the places no one else wanted to go. And he went to those places and he offered healing and wholeness and hope. All throughout the New Testament, we see Jesus dwelling among what society called the least of these. And then we hear Jesus' teaching about the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. But it took me a lot longer in my faith development to realize that the first part of that command leads to the second. Loving the Lord your God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all that we have, leads to and drives us, compels us to love your neighbor as yourself. It took me quite a bit longer to realize that we love God by loving God and others, by loving others. Because if we truly understand the love of God offered and poured out to us first, this overwhelming, overflowing love that God has for each and every single one of us on a personal level, from the tips of your toes to the top of your head, God knows how many hairs you have on your head, the thoughts before you even speak them. God created you. God knows you. God loves you. And when we truly realize and experience and accept the greatness and power of that love, when we get what a huge deal that is, then we can't help but love God in return. The Spirit of Christ compels me out of praise and thanksgiving for that great gift of love to love God in return. So how do I do that? How do I love God? By loving my neighbor as myself. And why? Because God dwells among my neighbor. God dwells among my neighbor. We love God by loving others. When I was in seminary, I met a man named Timothy. Timothy was homeless, unhoused, and he lived in a tent. So he liked to say he wasn't homeless. He had a home. It was among his community in this tent community. But he was unhoused. And this community was tucked in behind the trees on this main road that ran between Durham and Chapel Hill. In fact, it was this divided highway so busy that most people didn't even know it existed. But you'd often find Timothy among some of his other neighbors who lived in this tent community alongside of him, flying signs and asking for help on the main intersections of this road. That's really the only way that you would know they even existed, because they would stand on the street corners and ask for help. So every Tuesday, a group from the seminary would go down to share lunch and get to know folks that were living just beyond the tree line. And they would set up tents and tables and chairs and just share a meal. And this grew into a nonprofit ministry as they developed and discovered a lot of the needs that this community had. It developed into a nonprofit that still continues today, helping to connect a group of people with the needs that they have, whether it be clothes, whether it be tents, whether it be housing opportunities, sometimes just a ride to an appointment that they have. They had a whole network of people willing to drive people to appointments and court hearings and to get medicine, to go get things that they needed. And so I was discovered this, and I decided to go down and start going on Tuesdays to lunch, really just to learn how such a ministry worked, not offering very much myself at all. I just wanted to go and learn. So one day after we had cleaned up lunch and passed out some other items, like toiletry bags and clean socks, whatever folks needed, an unknown man that we hadn't met before walked up to our gathering. He was just passing through town, actually on foot, trying to make his way to West Virginia by next week so that he could make it in time for his son's birthday. He's trying to make it back home to West Virginia. And he was wondering if we had anything left that we could give. Well, the food was all gone. We'd already packed it all up, cleaned it up. Everything had already been passed out. He had literally just missed us by minutes. And when Timothy overheard this guest asking if we had anything left, Timothy, who was carrying just about everything he owned on his back in his backpack, he quickly took his pack off, opened it up, and offered this man everything he had just received, including, most notably, what I remember the most, offering him all three rolls of toilet paper that he had just received. And I remember that specifically because we very rarely had enough toilet paper for everyone to take more than one. And some weeks we didn't have any at all. Something we take for granted, but a precious, precious thing for someone who's unhoused. And he, without hesitation, offered this guest, this man, all that he had. All that he had. I have never encountered the charity, generosity, and gratitude of God like I did that day when I broke bread with Timothy. I walked away from that moment asking myself, have I been half as generous with the things that I have and all that I've been privileged to have? Have I been half as generous as Timothy is with how I love and share that with others? I firmly believe that I encountered Jesus face to face that day in the eyes and heart of Timothy. And I experienced God's love and charity and generosity like I never had before. Like I never had before. Jesus still dwells among the poor, still dwells among the broken, the hurting today. And the most direct way that we can love God is by loving Christ in the least of these. Because Jesus says, just as you did it for one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it for me. Something else Timothy taught me that day is that true love is giving, and it's giving until it hurts. Now, I'm not talking about bad, toxic relationships that we might be in and that we stick it out just for the sake of an idea that we have of love. I'm talking about the self-denying, self-sacrificial. God calls us to love as he has loved us. And so that is giving something, right? Giving. Loving is giving and giving until it hurts. That means even when it's not convenient or easy for me. Because that kind of love has my own needs first. My own wants and desires and comforts first. But the love that Jesus calls us to enter into is a love that considers the needs of others first. So love is giving, even when it's not convenient, even when it's not on my terms, my schedule, my ideas. Love is giving and giving until it hurts a little. 1 John 4:19, well, more than this, but 1 John 4 says this: there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for the fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. We cannot say we love God and hate anyone. We cannot say that we love God and deny and exclude and overlook the needs of our brothers and sisters. Because if we love God, then we will be inspired to seek ways to love and love God in others. Because when we serve, we come face to face with God, face to face with Christ, who dwells among the least of these. When we serve, we encounter the grace of God that transforms our hearts. That transforms our hearts so that they might be shaped after Christ's in humility, in faith, in gratitude, ultimately in peace. And hear me, friends, it's not because we serve because it somehow benefits us. It does. That's the byproduct. That's the fruit. That's the wonder and beauty of it all. We serve because God commands us. God inspires. God compels us to love God in return. And the best, most simple way that we can do that is by loving God in the least of these, loving God whom we experience and encounter in each other, in each other. You know, there's a second part of that passage that I read from Matthew 25, where Jesus says, "Come, inherit the kingdom of God, you who sit on my right. Because I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked, I was imprisoned, I was sick, and you visited me. Well done, good and faithful servants." And they say, "Lord, Lord, but when were you all of these things? We didn't realize. That's when he says, "Whenever you did this to the least of me, least of those, you did it for me." And the second part, which we didn't read together, but then he looks to those who are sitting on his left and he says, "Depart from me, I don't know you. For I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was thirsty, you did not give me something to drink. I was naked, I was alone, I was afraid, I was imprisoned, and you didn't care for me." And they say, "Lord, Lord, we didn't realize when. When did we see you in all of those places?" And God said, "Every time you didn't do those things for the least of these, you didn't do it for me." There's no easy way around that passage. It's one that we like to skip over, one that makes me uncomfortable on a daily basis. Because I want to qualify, I want to explain it away. But the truth is, there will be a moment which we give an account for our lives and how we have invested our time and love. And we will have to ask ourselves and reflect on, did I live in a way where I was sharing the love of God in every possible way that I knew how, not missing an opportunity to love God, in that very physical, palpable, obvious way? This is my Sunday of Mother Teresa, apparently. Because there's one more thing that she has famously said attributing to Matthew 25. "At the end of our lives, we will not be judged by how many diplomas we have received, how much money we have made, or how many great things we have done. We will be judged by, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was naked and you clothed me. I was homeless and you took me in." There's a lot of things that we strive for and look for and try and earn in this life. But the words of Christ, echoed by this here, the words of Saint Mother Teresa, remind us of how we ought to be orienting and focusing our lives. What true success and fruitfulness and righteousness in the kingdom of God looks like, because it very often does not look like what the world expects of us. It does not look like the success and wealth and living for yourself that the world encourages us in. And the truth of the matter is that when we live in this self-sacrificial, servant's heart way, we encounter and come face to face with God in amazing, transformative, powerful ways. That disciplines of service over time might truly transform our hearts, might truly have, again, the renewing of the mind that we talked about last week, for eyes to see the kingdom of God all around us. Through these practices of prayer and of study and of service, we might continue to exercise those kingdom eyes so that we might remember the focus that we ought to have over the expectations that the world has. This sort of love can only be motivated. This sort of service, forgive me, can only be motivated by the love of God. So I'm aware that we're all sitting here today. You're in church. So you're, you know, you've taken a step in this journey, right? And you're like, I know I should be serving more. I want to be careful not to have this should and ought and this guilt. The Holy Spirit convicts me every time I read these passages. But I do understand and know that we know love God and loving others, love our neighbor as ourselves. But there are sometimes things that can be barriers to that for us. And there are some that I hear on a very frequent basis, but I want to pause here for a second. And I want us to think about, reflect, and even talk amongst yourselves. What is it that might be a barrier for you to serve in this way? What is it that keeps you from serving and loving in this way that you know Christ is calling us to? This kind of uniting with Christ, seeing Christ face to face. What is a barrier for you? Take a moment, reflect, share with your neighbor if you feel so inclined. Amen. Well, if that's our desire, if that's our passion, and we want to be about the transformation of this world, we are aware of all of the needs and hurts and brokenness in this world. How can we be ambassadors? Where do we start? How can we serve? How can we go? Well, I want to, like we've done the past couple weeks, offer this short sort of practical habits of here are some opportunities. Here are some ways that you can be serving. As a part of what our church is currently doing, this is not an exhaustive list. In fact, we are always looking for new visions and new ideas, ways that you might see how you can be about God's revolution wherever you are. And maybe as a church, how we can come alongside and support, encourage you in that. But this is a place to start. This is a place to start. So based on the major barriers that I hear, or that the release team has talked about, that the release team hears, I'm right there with you on some of this as well. Based on a lot of the things that keep us from serving the way that we want to, I want to break down some opportunities that we have so that you might take a look at this list and you go, you know what? Once a month, that's something I can do. And again, not do to check a box and inherit the kingdom of heaven, right? But to experience God face to face, to respond to God's great love for you, to experience God's transformative grace in your life in a new and amazing way that again begins to develop and mold and shape our hearts after the disciples that we are called to be. Right? After the disciples, as the disciples we are called to be. Okay. First one that I typically hear, maybe it came up in your all's conversation, time. Yeah? I don't have the time. I feel like I'm so overwhelmed and so busy as it is. I'm not available then. Okay, that's okay, but I want to stop and think about this list of opportunities. Probably 2 hours of actual serving, maybe an hour or two of prep or travel. Like you got to get the stuff ready, you got to get down there, 2 hours serving, then you got to get home. I'm talking 4 hours, probably three or four hours tops. Once a month, can you find that? Once a month, can you find those couple of hours to plug into something that we're doing? And you're in luck because there's something nearly every day of the week. So we have here weekly opportunities and monthly opportunities. I want you to be aware of what it is that some people already on the ground at Revolution are doing, but needs that we desperately have as we need volunteers and service opportunities. Okay, heat goes down to some areas in Louisville, often known as Forgotten Louisville, working with the homeless population there. Different churches bring different things throughout the week, but representatives from Revolution go every Saturday morning, and they offer propane in the cold weather and water in the hot weather. They're going here in a couple of weeks. They're going to start back up going every single week once it gets colder, but they are always looking for folks that might join them in that. Someone was telling me after the first service that every week, I did not know this, amazing. When she's at the grocery store, she buys and picks up an extra case of water and gives it to them. $3 maybe, $2 or $3. An extra case of water every week. She doesn't go down there personally herself, but she's supporting and serving in that small way for her. Small things have a large impact in the kingdom of God. Faith like a mustard seed, right? Mustard seed. Salon, serving and loving our neighbors. Every Saturday afternoon, they are down at 4th Avenue, building relationships, leading a Bible study, helping with lunch every Saturday. Now, again, I'm not suggesting if you do want to go every week, that's amazing. But I want you to know about the weekly opportunities that continue to occur. So maybe you can grab onto one, and just for once that time this month, you might plug into one of these things. Burrito Riders on Saturday mornings. Every Saturday morning, we have folks out. Second and fourth. Just kidding, not weekly. Thank you. I appreciate that. Hey, I was ready for burritos every week. Okay, second and fourth. There's a list of contacts as well. Second and fourth, going out. If you don't ride a bike like I do, which is not very well. So if you do ride a bike well, you could join in. But also, always needing donations of burritos, right? On second and fourth Saturdays, if you want to be about just making so that they might be passed out. Meal and attendance at Celebrate Recovery. Every single week on Wednesday nights, we celebrate a meal before worship, and they are always looking for people or groups that want to bless the community of Celebrate Recovery by having a meal together. You'll see that the next several are meals. I think this is a great opportunity because my mom always said we learn how to love at the table. That's where we start. That's where we begin learning how to love. And she used to say that every night over and over to my sister and I. Ooh, because what did I learn how to do? Listen to her, right? I learned how to listen with patience. I learned how to listen. I learned how to share. I learned how to speak what I needed. I learned how to live life with my family. And then from there, right, those lessons of the table can be shared. Food is a great unifier. We learn how to love at the table. And so these are great opportunities. Celebrate Recovery, coming and sharing a meal and staying for worship, being blessed by the worship that happens here every single Wednesday night. That has been such a gift for me that I can come and just participate. Such a gift. Meal at Grace Kids. I don't know if you're familiar, this is a new opportunity. Grace Kids is a church for kids only. It's a Methodist mission in an under-resourced neighborhood of town where it's basically an after-school program, creating a safe place for kids to come after school and be off the streets, have that relationship. They have a meal 3 times a week. They're serving a meal Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday, always looking for folks to come and to provide that meal. And there's an opportunity for even games and interaction and crafts with the kids, activities with the kids. Impact Student Ministries, that's our very own youth program, serving a meal on Sunday nights. And then a meal for the Gathering Campus, this is the Wesley Foundation at U of L. And every Thursday, that should say, I don't know how that happened, every Thursday, they look for churches, for groups, for different people to bless their ministry by providing a meal. Went down with the house group just a few weeks ago, and that was an amazing time that all are welcome to do. And then you have monthly opportunities at Family Scholar House through Soul Feast and Kid Book Club on Mondays and Saturdays. Nearly every day of the week represented, if I had put Thursday correctly. And so these are based on time, 3 to 4 hours that you might be able to reclaim, you might be able to find. All right, what's another barrier? What's one that you all came up with? This is what keeps you from serving how you might want to. What's another common one? Family needs. Kids. I have kids. What do I do with them? I need childcare. Or can they come? Right? I have a kid. How can we incorporate them? I can say the most formative thing for me in my faith was watching my parents live out their faith. Because including our kids into these disciplines of prayer and of study and now of service, incredibly formative. Studies show, especially with sticky faith, that's a research project that was done in the last several years, the more children and youth are included and incorporated into the life of the church, into service, into involvement on a Sunday morning, the more likely their faith is to stick as they go out on their own as young adults and into adulthood, into college and things like that. The hours that Amy, for example, spends with children and youth compared to the number of hours that you as parents or caregivers or neighbors or grandparents spend, man, it's a powerful example that you can have just by including your kids into these opportunities, into these habits. So here are some that are welcome for children to serve alongside of you. Family Scholar House, providing that meal on Monday. Amber Miller and Sarah take their kids every time they go. It's a beautiful way that you can build relationships across some of these barriers that we have as society. Kids are welcome and safe in that. It's a, what is the word I'm looking for? How, it's like a, you know, people live there. What's that word? It's for single parents, community. It's for single parents with their kids. They live in this community, and it's you know, kind of gated in, especially the Breckenridge campus that they go to, and there's just great opportunity there, and your kids are welcome to go, and everyone's together in one space. They share a meal. They have games. They even do a Bible study together as well, and parents and kids are all together in one place. All right, so burrito riders, kids can make burritos. They can be with all of these meals that I have listed here. My vision was for you to have your kids helping you make the meal alongside of you, right? What a powerful witness that can be, where that can be. And in fact, the meal for the gathering, the kids are welcome to attend as well and serve. I took Logan down when I went a few weeks ago, and Marco, the pastor there, he brings his kids. And I joked that it was like great baby therapy for these college students, right? They're all like tired and worn, and they just lit up when they saw these babies and kids. It's like when they bring puppies to campus during finals week. You know, you're like, oh, let me go play with a puppy. Your kids are welcome to go down to the gathering and serve right alongside of you. I do want to highlight Grace Kids. It's a great opportunity. As long as you stay with your kids at all time, they can go and they can serve. As long as they are with you, and being mindful of safety when you do go to that service opportunity, but kids are welcome there. And then where childcare is just provided, right, first column where kids can serve, childcare provided, dinner here, and worship every Wednesday night at Celebrate Recovery. There's a safe place for them to be right up in Little Peeps, and childcare is provided. Okay, another one that I hear often is, I don't know how, I don't feel equipped, or I'm scared. I can tell you that little, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do, I'm going to be sick. Exactly how I felt the first time I went down to have lunch on Tuesday with Open Table Ministry. It's exactly how I felt. I thought, who am I? What can I offer? What will we talk about? I'm so aware of my privilege right now and the different life that I've been given. This is, I don't know what to do. But you know what I discovered? I discovered that they were people just like me, with fears and hopes and dreams crushed sometimes, but people in need of all that had our hurts and hang-ups, people in need of just a little help. You know, we all need a little help from time to time. And so I went in to that lunch with all these preconceived notions, right, of what I was going to encounter, and I discovered that, yes, some of them struggled with addiction, but not most of them. Some of them might have served some time in prison, but not most of them. Most of them just were down on their luck. They'd lost a job, and that started a downward spiral into losing a home, losing family, losing identity, and they just needed a little bit of help. So what I discovered is that God was going to equip me with everything I needed in that moment to build relationships across this barrier that I had placed of, I don't feel like I am qualified for that. But I'm also very aware that it's good to get out of our comfort zones and stretch and encounter God's grace in these ways. But for some of us, that's still a little bit beyond into our danger zone. That can't be a reason that we don't serve. That can't be our excuse for not going and serving in these ways, because there's always something that all of us can do, right? There's always something that all of us can do. Someone mentioned last service that money is sometimes a barrier. I want to highlight again that as a release team, we offer these congregational missions, and this is something that HEAT applies for every year so that they have the money for water and propane that they need. That process will continue in 2020, so if you have an idea, if you have a vision, if money is a barrier for you, talk to the release team, and we might discover how we can partner with you. We might discover how we can partner. But also when it comes to not knowing how, I want to encourage us that it's not just a going over there, an us and them sort of thing, but there are opportunities to serve and love our neighbors all around us. This is a lifestyle. So maybe it's not going down to Family Scholar House or going down to Forgotten Louisville, but it's going next door to help your neighbor who just lost a parent. Or maybe it's Everywhere you go, that same coffee shop you stop at every week, and now you know the barista by name. Maybe it's offering a blessing over her one day. Right? Maybe it's cleaning up something that you see just to bless the people that are working there. Maybe it's looking up from your desk and sharing lunch with a coworker instead of eating by yourself or eating through work one day. Wherever you go, in each space, there's opportunities if we have eyes to see how we can serve and love our neighbors right there alongside of us. And that we can maybe find the time for, the equipping for, right, the passion for, if we have those eyes to see. All right, and then finally, this is the final list. All of the things you've already heard. Don't worry, I'm not going through them all. But in your teaching notes section, the whole list there is combined. And the challenge that we are putting forth is for every house group, take a look at this list, maybe something else not on this list, and pick your one thing for the month that you're going to do together, that you can hold each other accountable for, that you can be in service together. And if you're not in a house group, there's still individual needs. We have needs right now for folks to serve in guest services and AV, folks to serve right here at Revolution, to teach our kids right now, that's happening during Revolution Kids. We have needs for folks to serve communion every week. We have needs for people to join our prayer team. We can all do something, right? What about serving this church and our community through prayer? Joining with the awesome prayer warriors that we have. This Friday night at 8 o'clock, they're going to start their weekly meetings, and all are welcome to come and join them then. And as well, just to come and participate and celebrate recovery. It doesn't have to be a house group that comes and brings a meal. It can just be you showing up, having dinner, and worshiping together and seeing where God might inspire us from there. There are ways that we can be serving and loving our neighbors all around us. So your challenge in the coming weeks is to pray, ask where God might be stirring in your heart to respond to a need in our community where you can be the hands and feet of Christ there. And once a month, holding one another accountable to being about this habit of service, because that's truly how we encounter the love of Christ and share the love of Christ everywhere we go. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we give you thanks for who you are and for how you love us. We give you thanks that you invite us to be about your work of redemption in this world. Would you give us the courage we need? Would you give us the grace that we need? Would you give us the eyes to see the needs all around us that we might continue to be your ambassadors in this very dark and hurting world? And we pray all of these things in Jesus Christ. Amen. What a gift and privilege we have to join in with the revolutionary work that God is doing all around us. There are opportunities everywhere we are, everywhere we go, if we only have eyes to see and the courage for that moment, that the Spirit will show up and equip us. If you are looking for a place to start, like I said, pray over, take a look, pick one thing maybe that you might do in the month. But before then, looking for a place to start, our Family Scholar House Fall Festival is coming up 2 weeks from yesterday, October 12th, and we need volunteers. Not sure how it went after the first service, but I know we needed 15 more volunteers or else it was not going to happen. And we need some of those folks to just show up and participate with your kids. Have fun. Go to the festival. We also need some folks to run some of the booths and to serve, help clean up, help set up, just for a couple hours, if you could serve. We have Mike Schaefer staying in the back. I know Amber Miller will be joining later. If you want to sign up this morning, you can go right back to him for October 12th, our Family Scholar House Festival. Awesome.
See, it's 11 o'clock and
beat 9:20. Ooh, challenge accepted. Challenge accepted. And if you can sign up for all of these opportunities online, if you have more questions, please come find me or someone from the release team. We'd love to talk to you about plugging you in to serve. My friends, we have been given the gift of this union with God to share in God's love, to love and to be loved. And so now go this week. Have a great week. Go in God's peace. Let's go and be the revolution.